Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 9, verse 18 to 26. Hear now God's word. Let's pray first, actually, before we read that. Dear Lord, we thank you that you share with us your word, that you have given to us truly a light unto our path. And we pray this day that we walk by that light, that we are both challenged and encouraged as we need to be. Lord, forever we thank you, and we pray we do so not only with our attention, with our focus upon your word, but also with our actions that come from your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 to 26. Hear now God's word. Once when Jesus was praying alone, with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but others, Elijah, and still others, that one of the ancient prophets has arisen." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to lose their life, those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our main focus today, the main scripture we'll be looking at is Luke 23. Then he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Covered that very briefly in the children's message today. But this is one of those scriptures that many of us have heard before. It's no surprise to us. You know, we understand this. But I think it's also one of those scriptures that really helps to understand the context in which it was spoken. So we're going to go a little bit here, scripture step by step, to kind of weed out the context a bit. When Jesus was praying alone, and I appreciate Jesus as he's alone, oftentimes he's not really alone, but his disciples are with him. And he's praying to God and regaining strength and just finding a peaceful place. And he asked the disciples, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Now there's a lot of speculation over who Jesus is. And Jesus, of course, is claiming himself to be the Son of God, especially as we read the book of John. And the disciples tell him all these things, you know, that people say who he is. John the Baptist and Elijah and ancient prophets. But Jesus is concerned with who they think he is. And then they tell, Peter answers, "The Messiah of God." This revelation that Peter declares to Jesus and to the rest of the disciples, and this is probably on the minds of the other disciples already, we got to understand what kind of revelation this is. What kind of thing that Peter was saying. It's almost saying that Bob Chipeta here is actually Bill Gates in disguise coming to join us for worship. It's unheard of. It's unthinkable to truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah was prophesied in the Hebrew Bible for centuries. And it's something that they dearly wanted. The idea of the Messiah that Peter is going with is this political king, this powerful figure, this one who will come and free Israel from their bondage. Make them a nation again, not just for one time, but for all time. A king coming in the spirit of David, a new golden age, where Israel will finally be free. And now, in the time of Roman occupation, how much more now in this moment that people really want this to happen? For Peter to declare that Jesus is Messiah is a one in a million thing. And of course, Peter is right. Jesus is the Messiah. But Peter's scope of the definition of the Messiah is extremely limited. And so Jesus, based upon the knowledge, knowing that though Peter is right, Peter's also at the same time wrong. The next three verses are important to clarify this idea of Messiah. One, he sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone. The reason, of course, is the misunderstanding. They start spreading the word that Jesus is the Messiah, but they misunderstand what the Messiah is. So there's maybe some fear or concern that they'll start taking the wrong action, the actions that Jesus doesn't want. Next, he explains what the Son of Man must go through. And again, this is very counter-cultural or counter to what Peter thinks the Messiah is. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed on the third day and be raised. I don't know if the disciples actually paid attention to this when Jesus said it. I don't know if they completely understood it. I kind of don't think so, because of what Jesus had to say next. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. There's another story in the Gospels about James and John's mother. Remember this story? James and John's mother comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, "Lord, promise me that my boys can sit at your right and your left hand when you come into power." The other disciples were really unhappy that this has happened. James and John, it seems, are vying for some power share from Jesus once he comes into his kingdom. And you got to remember, too, that this idea of Messiah could still be dictating James and John's mother's request. You ever watch that movie, History of the World, Part 1, by Mel Brooks? If you have, good for you. If you haven't, don't worry about it. It doesn't hold up, I don't think. But anyway, Mel Brooks within this plays a king, and he says over and over again the same line. For those of you who've seen the movie, that line he keeps repeating is, "It's good to be king." And the idea of "it's good to be king," that Mel Brooks' character is trying to get across, is that with being king, you have the power to do whatever you want. You have the authority to boss people around. If you want something, you can go out and get it. When the disciples recognized that Jesus was Messiah, there could have been this idea that if they continue to follow the Messiah, then they will share in the benefits that this political king will have, because they're close and they're in that inner circle. Jesus knocks down this notion right away by saying, if any want to come become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Doing this, saying this, tells them that to follow Christ is to do as Christ will do, which is die, to take up the burden of the cross. to empty oneself for the good of others, to deny our own passions and desires and take up those passions and desires that Christ has for us, which include a cross. But there's something here in the scripture too that's easily missed because of the English translation. The English translation is slightly misleading. Then he said to them all, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. But when this was written in the Greek is in the singular tense, not the plural. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, the old plural. Jesus is talking to the disciples. But in the Greek, it's far more personal. In the Greek, it reads like this. If anyone wants to become my follower, let him or her deny him or herself and take up his or her cross daily and follow me. Jesus is pointing singularly at each and every disciple as individuals and saying, you have a decision to make. You, singular. That the decision to follow Jesus is not just a corporate decision. It's an individual decision. It's an individual choice. We find ourselves nearing the end of Lent. Next Sunday, when we gather together, it'll be Palm Sunday. Can you believe that? And then the following Sunday will be Easter Sunday. Coming down to the end of this time of self-reflection, of personal need, realizing our personal need for God, for Christ in our lives. Coming to the end of this time where we go introspectively at how much we need Christ, how weak we are, what kind of limits that we have. I pray once Lent ends, we don't end with that. But one of the things that our author of our devotion wanted us to remember near the end of the season of Lent is that we all need to make a decision. In knowing what Messiah is, truly, not just a political king, not just a physical kingdom, but physical and spiritual, which will be for all the earth, which will span for all eternity. And that Christ doesn't want to do it alone, but wants us beside Christ, not on the easy road. But sometimes through a very difficult path. The question that Jesus leaves us is, if any of you want to fully become Jesus' follower, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. But it wouldn't be fair of me to leave it there. If I want to be a follower of Jesus, I must deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. It's a decision that we have to make not just once, but sometimes every day. Sometimes a couple times a day. To follow Christ. To take up our cross. And to decide to go where Christ leads and guides. I pray that we do that and that we continue to focus on that as we come closer and closer to our celebration of Easter. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of God will be with you today and always. Amen.